You have just been appointed recently the music director of the Bolshoi Theater. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. That was actually on the day when I flew to Philadelphia.
Well, congratulations. You are now extremely busy because you were also music director of ensembles in Toulouse and Berlin.
Yes, I am music director of Toulouse, Orchestre National du Capitole de Toulouse, since 2008. And this is my second season now with the Deutsche Symphony Orchestra in Berlin. So those two relationships, which are going extremely well and developing artistically beautifully. So I couldn't be more happy with my artistic partnerships.
It's so interesting because you are leading artistic ensembles based in three different cultures with three different traditions. What is your perspective on that?
That's a wonderful thing about what conductors do today. In my case, you know, working in France and Germany and, of course, back in my country, in Russia. That's when you understand, though the mentalities are different, the traditions are a little bit different, but that's when you suddenly embrace this understanding of music being really international. And whether you play Brahms in Germany or you play Brahms in France or in Russia or in America, it is Brahms or Tchaikovsky or Beethoven. And the music dictates more than the actual understanding or mentality of the culture where or country you are in at the moment or the traditions.
It's a wonderful way to communicate across cultures.
I think so. This is the only language which doesn't need a translation, doesn't it?
Now, the shape of this program, could you comment a little bit on it? You have Tchaikovsky surrounded by two of his compatriots, Rimsky-Korsakov and Mussorgsky.
Well, they are three, I would say, three major pillars of the Russian music or classical music. Tchaikovsky, who has been popular in America now for many, many years, first of all, by his symphonies, the violin concerto, which is extremely popular, the piano concerto, which is so well known. And then we have Rimsky-Korsakov, who used a slightly different traditions, who was more basing his music on the Russian folkloric traditions, if you see what I mean. He was more developing the Russian melodies and in the spirit of Russian folk music. Mussorgsky was somebody who is very, very unique, very individual, and somebody who was a very tortured person and, you know, who was not always satisfied with his music. But the combination of Mussorgsky and Ravel, which everybody can hear today in the second half of the concert, the pictures, I think it's a wonderful example of the collaboration of two composers. Though they did not work together, Ravel did orchestrate it many more years later, but the two geniuses, you know, touched this music, and the result is that the music became eternal for years, and everybody's so happy to hear it, and it's very popular.
Talking about Tchaikovsky, Rimsky-Korsakov, and Mussorgsky, Rimsky-Korsakov and Mussorgsky were part of a group called the Mighty Five, and there were two camps of Russian composers, those associated with the conservatories, such as Tchaikovsky, and those who were not.
Yeah. Rimsky-Korsakov and Mussorgsky, they were part of this Mighty Five. The other ones were Borodin, Balakirev, and QE. So they worked together as a group, and they were developing their ideas, saying that the Russian classical music should be based on the Russian ethnical or folkloric elements. And somebody like Tchaikovsky or Rubinstein, they were really basing their composition skills and ideas on the European traditions. So there were two camps, but nonetheless, they were not disturbing each other. And we have such a great heritage of Russian classical music.
And Russia is such a large place that even within Russia, there are many different mini cultures, perhaps.
Of course, Russia, I mean, if you go from north to south or from west to east, you know, you suddenly get this difference of cultures and different republics, and people speak different languages, and it's a micro world, you know, micro plant, micro model of the society. It's wonderful. That's what makes Russian culture very rich.
So let's talk about the pictures at an exhibition. It was inspired by an exhibition of paintings that had been done by a very good friend of his, an artist who had died the year before.
He was a very good friend of Mussorgsky, Hartmann, and I think the idea of writing a piece for piano, first of all, based on the different pictures, I think it's a great idea, and Mussorgsky did a fantastic job picturing all those different characters, you know, when you suddenly listen to the ballet of the chicks still in their shells, you know, or whether it's a Vecchio Castello, which is an old castle abandoned, or whether it's a last movement of this, the Grand Port du Kiev, the Great Gate of Kiev, you know, and you really get this, understand this feeling, your imagination suddenly goes on. But in combination with Ravel's masterly orchestration, and Ravel was a great master of the orchestra. He knew the orchestra, what it can do, what the instruments are capable of doing, and so the marriage of great music of Mussorgsky with the incredible orchestration skills of Ravel, it's a masterpiece.
It is so interesting when you think that it was composed for piano, and the orchestration involves such colorful use of the instruments in the orchestra.
Absolutely. Anyone who is listening to the orchestral version of it, not knowing that there is a piano version, cannot even imagine that to hear that as for the piano. But if you listen to great Sviatoslav Richter performing it on piano, you then start also appreciating the Mussorgsky's own original piano version. So it's how it is today, unfortunately.
Now, you recorded this in about 2006. How has your interpretation changed? And I guess is it different every time you do it with each ensemble? Today with the Philadelphia Orchestra, how is it different? How are you discovering new parts of it? Are there any parts of it that are particularly intriguing to you now?
My interpretation does change a little bit, but also it depends with which orchestra I'm conducting it, because I always try to see what are the colors and the abilities of the orchestra in order to shine in this score, because clearly the score is so virtuoso. You know, you need to show the orchestra at its best. And I think that's what really conductors have been trying to do, and certainly I do every time I conduct this piece, to make the orchestra sound so colorful and make it sound very imaginative, so it does not just, you know, stay very flat. And we really try to produce a 3D musical image for the audience, so they can really imagine those beautiful pictures. But it stays more or less the same, my interpretation. It does plus minus change a little bit, but depending on the ensemble, as you say, of course. But with Philadelphia Orchestra, it's a great pleasure to do it, because certainly this orchestra, apart from doing all the other repertoire, has a very special relationship with Russian music, and performing this piece and performing Tchaikovsky and all the great conductors who worked with this orchestra left a very big legacy in Russian music.
So how are you finding the experience now?
Oh, it's fantastic. It's great to be here. It's great to be in Philadelphia. It's great to be with this orchestra and touching this famous Philadelphia sound and trying to swim in it, you know, because it embraces you completely, the sound, and you catch yourself enjoying it so much, and this is fabulous. And they're a great ensemble. They're clearly somebody who enjoys making music, and I think that's so important, you know. Being such a great orchestra, they did not lose this ability of treating music or music making as something completely new and fresh.
Well, it's very exciting to have you here. Thank you so much for coming and for talking with us.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.